Hello, and welcome back to Greg and Katie's Epic Movie Collection, the podcast, where we review and discuss movies from our ever-growing collection. My name is Greg.
And I'm Katie. We wanted to take a break from our top 10 list to do a special Halloween episode. Today, we'll be discussing the 2018 film Halloween.
Testing 1, 2, 3. We're on.
We're here to investigate a patient that killed 3 innocent teenagers on a Halloween in 1978. He was shot by his own psychiatrist and taken into custody that night and has spent the last 40 years in captivity. Hello, Michael. I have something you might like to see.
Everyone in my family, like, turns into a nutcase this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, your grandmother is Laurie Strode. She was almost murdered.
Wasn't it her brother who murdered all those babysitters?
No, it was not her brother. That's something that people made up.
Do you know that I pray every night that he would escape?
Who the hell did you do that for?
So I can kill him.
The bus crashed.
Mom, what bus crash?
Michael escaped.
Excuse me, somebody's in here.
Hello?
For this night. He's waited for me. I've waited for him.
Get out the lawn! Get inside!
You don't believe in the boogeyman?
He's here!
Michael! You should.
Can you close the closet door?
So the IMDb film synopsis for this movie is Laurie Strode confronts her longtime foe Michael Myers, the masked figure who haunted her since she narrowly escaped his killing spree on Halloween night 4 decades ago.
Yeah, so that is the what some people confuse with like a reboot, but it's not a reboot, it's not a remake, it's actually a continuation of the 1978 original movie, and it just is ignoring everything else from there on out.
Yeah, it pays homage to all the other Halloween films, but it doesn't like,
yeah, it's we'll not get into part it, of the but story. It's like, yeah, like yeah. There's a lot of scenes where it's like, oh, that's an homage to the original.
Or to like, you know, the second one or the third one.
Right.
But they're not like involved in the story. So.
Yeah. So everything gets referenced. Even so, anyone who's like a true diehard will be seeing references all over the place.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah.
So this is actually directed by David Gordon Green, which most people would recognize as the director of Pineapple Express. He works a lot with Danny McBride, who is one of the writers on this. And I think it was originally their idea to try and reboot this script, and it eventually got the blessing of John Carpenter, who actually gave them a couple story ideas after seeing what they put together. So it's pretty interesting. These guys who are normally like known as comedy guys are doing this like horror reboot, or not reboot, continuation. Yeah. Reimagining, what I forgot what they called it, something like that in an interview.
Yeah
we've seen all the Halloweens, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I don't know if I've seen all of them. I've seen like random ones. Like, I don't think I've seen Season of the Witch or the fourth one or the fifth one.
But really?
I've seen,
okay,
Halloween H2O. I mean, we own all of them.
Yeah.
But
yeah, this is one of my favorite ones. It's a great movie. You don't have to like know the whole storyline of who Michael Myers is. They do a good job of explaining it, but also kind of like not rehashing in a boring way. Everything's very exciting. Keeps the pace, a really good pace, especially that like kind of like slow builds. It does those really well.
Yeah, and I should also note that we decided to do this after seeing Halloween Kills. We saw that the day it came out, and then we wanted to watch this one because if you haven't seen Halloween Kills yet, I'd recommend watching this one again before, because we didn't realize it was going to be literally like the same night. It continues like right within after.
Minutes after this film ends, Halloween Kills starts, and then they just don't really explain the characters who are coming back, and it's a little confusing because it had been some time since we had seen it.
Yeah, so we watched it after, and to be honest, it was like night and day for me. I'm not gonna, like, we don't want to give away any of Halloween Kills, but like in my opinion, this film was way better.
It's definitely the stronger of I do want to rewatch it because it is like a fun slasher movie, but
For sure,
it doesn't have the strength of this script. Like, this script was definitely the better of the two. Like, the last one could have been tacked on to the third film or something like that and then just shortened up. But
yeah, I mean, like,
but you get the creative kills, which was it was fun. It was just, it felt like the story dragged out a little bit, like an idea that just ran a little too long.
Yeah,
but still worth seeing. Like, you should definitely go see Halloween Kills, I think.
Yeah, watch this one first though, before you go. So you want to start it out, Greg, and kind of start at the beginning?
Yeah. The only other thing I had before we started was the producer on this film, Malik Akkad. He is the son of the original Halloween producer, Mustafa Akkad, who he actually died in a terrorist bombing in 2005 in Jordan.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It was a big, like, they hit three hotels and he was in one of them. And,
wow, that's sad.
And died, yeah. So, it was like a emotional reunion for him and Jamie Lee Curtis because he was on set as a kid at the time. So this was like the first time she had seen him since filming the original Halloween, and he's there as a producer.
Oh, crazy. So his dad was the producer of the original Halloween? Oh, okay.
Which I also want to throw in a quick mention. The Movies That Made Us series on Netflix has a great documentary on the making of the original Halloween.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed watching and is definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, like, they have some new episodes up on like classic horror films, which is, if you're into that, which if you're listening to this, you're probably into that. So so you should check it out on Netflix if you have it.
Yeah. So I guess we'll start off just talking about the opening, which I think is, honestly, if someone wants to debate me about it, I'd love to hear their side, but this is probably the best opening to any Halloween film that's been made. Probably the strongest for me.
Okay. Why?
They changed the whole, like, traditionally, I feel like the openings of these Halloween movies are kind of slow, kind of repetitive, like you're opening on a street on Halloween. This one opens with these two British podcasters who, maybe they're popular. They're not very showy about it. So I don't know if they're like a small true crime thing.
I think they are.
They seem that they have some clout if they're traveling from England. But they're visiting the mental hospital, Smith Grove Psychiatric Hospital, where Michael's being held in this weird Alice in Wonderland type like courtyard.
I guess
it's like red and white tiles. It's like really unsettling. I don't know whose idea it was, or if that's a reference to another movie that like is,
or
like
if
a
that's
deep
a
dive
thing
reference
that they do.
It looked maddening, like you were a chess piece or something.
Yeah,
like
it
that
did. It looked like a chessboard, and they were all in like little squares and like chained.
Yeah, taped off and chained to like anchors for a ship or something like that is what they look like, a giant cement block, so they couldn't run outside of their little square.
And it was like, I guess their outside time, but like, what's the point of being outside if you can just stand in a square?
Yeah. And I also want to point out, if you know, when you're watching this, notice the guy who's the Penguin, obviously. I mean, I don't see him as any other guy. He has an umbrella and he looks like Danny DeVito from Batman.
Yeah.
As the Penguin, and he's in the second one.
Yeah, he in Halloween Kills, he comes
we
back.
Won't mention his role, but he's a big role in the second one and not a big role at all in this one.
Not at all.
And I just are they going to explain
who he is? I don't know.
He's in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's just like a guy who kind of is around in the second one. But yeah, really weird looking dude.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like, do you remember in elementary school when you would get like, I don't know if it was called timeout or whatever, but like on recess, everyone would get to play and you'd have to like stand in a circle in like the corner of the, did you have to do that on the blacktop?
Like if you got in trouble?
Yeah, like if you got in trouble in school, sometimes they would like take away your recess privileges. So like
you'd have to... Oh, they'd just make us sit outside the classroom, like on a bench.
Oh no. So during recess, we had these like circles and you had to like stand in the circle and watch everybody else play.
Punishment circles.
Yeah. That's what this reminded me of. But they were all in punishment squares.
Yeah. It was very COVID safe out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they walk up to Michael Myers, who you can't see his face. They walk up from behind him and one of the guys pulls out the mask trying to get him to talk, because his whole thing is like Michael Myers hasn't said anything. I think this mask has like powers or something like that, and I want to get him to talk. So he's like holding up this mask and everyone around just starts like howling. Like it's very animalistic, like he's yelling at him like, Michael, say something right now. And
there's dogs barking.
Yeah, dogs barking. It's like the most tense opener, I think, to a Halloween movie. And even just watch, like we've watched it a couple times now.
Yeah.
And it's still really strong.
After that, we see the opening credits, which kind of call back to the original one. But
yeah, I like the callback, which yeah.
It starts with a moldy pumpkin and then it kind of like goes to fresh. So it like, and they actually did shoot, it's not CGI or anything. It's an actual pumpkin that they shot molding, and then they reversed the clip for the intro,
which is the exact opposite of the original, right? I want to say, like, didn't it mold in that, or am I just imagining it?
No, I thought the same thing, and then I rewatched the intro for the original and it's not, it's just a pumpkin.
Okay.
Like it's just a pumpkin like zooming in.
Oh, very simple.
Like a jack-o'-lantern. I know, I could have sworn that was in the first one. It molds.
Yeah,
but yeah, no.
Okay. It kind of smash cuts to the opening titles that we just described, and we come back in and the podcasters are leaving. They're in their car and they're driving to Laurie Strode's house, Jamie Lee Curtis, who now lives pretty close to Haddock or wherever she used to live, but it's out in like the woods.
Yeah.
Like kind of out in the boonies, and her place is overgrown. It actually looks like it looks like an abandoned jungle cruise or something like that. Just like out in the middle of the woods. And they show up, it's like a gated compound, and they offer Lori $3,000 for an interview about Michael Myers.
And then she buzzes them in when they say $3,000.
Yeah.
Then you see their interaction with her, and basically she's telling them about, you know, how this whole experience kind of strained her relationship with her daughter, who's named Karen.
Yeah. Is this where we find out that she like had her daughter taken away?
Yeah. And she says that she had her daughter taken away. The state took her away at 12, when she was 12.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's when we learn kind of that backstory. And then I think they asked a little too much or something, and she like kicks him out, or they try and get her to go
and talk to Michael.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. But we don't learn too much about her. We just know that like this iteration of Laurie Strode is kind of a badass. You can tell like she's like, what's it called? She's like Rambo now.
Yeah. She's like taking that experience and like,
she's ready.
Yeah. Kind of like made her crazy.
And so from there, she kicks him out and we get to meet her daughter's family, who's played by
Judy Greer. Yeah.
Of course. And you meet like her husband and the daughter, who is supposed to be kind of like, she's Laurie Strode's granddaughter, but you can tell it's pretty much like a carbon copy of her in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of similarities. And her name is Allison in the movie.
Yeah. They're estranged from Laurie.
Yeah.
Now, doesn't really talk to her. The daughter talks to her a lot and it seems like she's like a role model for her, but the mother like does not want her to have any communication whatsoever. Yeah,
because I guess, I don't know. We also hear Karen, Judy Greer, her daughter's side of the whole thing, saying, you know, during this part when you meet them, she's talking about her grandma and why she doesn't want her to have contact with her because, you know, she raised her in fear and like really fucked her up when she was little. And then she was taken away and all this stuff. So we kind of learn that story from both Laurie Strode's perspective and also her daughter's perspective.
Yeah, it seems like it messed her up, but she also kind of like brags about how she's like over it now. Like, I got out. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
So for something she complains about, she also like brags about it a little bit too much.
Yeah. One of my favorite characters, though, is her dad, for sure.
He's like the comic relief. Yeah, for sure.
That's another thing I want to say. Just, you know, being able to watch this one right after Halloween Kills, the comedy in this is like way different than Halloween Kills. Like, it's like there's a lot of kind of sarcasm and sort of like.
Yeah, I kind of equate it to like what Adam McKay does now. With like, he does a lot of serious movies, but he started out doing like Step Brothers and those kind of movies. And he, like the comedy bits that he adds in between like the story building of that genre of like these like financial, like very like facts-based like dramas, he's able to introduce like a lot of comedy into it. And I feel like that's definitely felt in this one, where it's a horror movie, but it's like better because the comedy parts where you kind of relax are really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it, I don't know. Halloween Kills didn't have that. I don't know. They do seem like they go together, but in certain ways, like it doesn't seem like they go together.
Yeah. I have more of an opinion on that, but it would like spoil the entire rest of the movie. But yeah, I definitely, it had a different tone to it.
Yeah. This one tone. Was, yeah. Different feel.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're kind of like starting from a happy place here. So
yeah. I guess maybe that's why, yeah, because it's just, I mean, it's the second one. The second movie of every trilogy is always kind of shaky, so yeah. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. But
and as you know with how horror movies go, it's never ending on a good ending. So
yeah,
for everyone to be happy in the second one would be pretty weird.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to Halloween again. Now, after we've met Laurie Strode's family, we cut to this, like, dad and kid.
What?
Driving in a truck and like a back roads, and it's like nighttime.
What's
and
the name of the of that like play where the kid just wants to be in the ballet? Billy
oh my gosh. Billy Elliot. Yeah.
Yeah, the kid's a little Billy Elliot. Like, I just want to be a dancer.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go cute. Hunting. Yeah.
And his son or his dad's like, you know, doesn't understand him, but is also like not like
he's not totally shooting him down.
No. But also, I felt like that dad was so much older. Like, that was like, I mean, I guess like it doesn't really matter, but he seemed like he could have been his like grandpa. Yeah. It was weird.
And they happen along the crashed bus from
the insane asylum.
Yeah, because don't they, we might not have mentioned it earlier, but they're shutting down
Smith's Grove
Psychiatric Hospital and moving them to another one.
I don't know if they're shutting it down. They're just moving certain patients to the, it's like the maximum security prison or whatever, to like basically put Michael away forever. And they're moving like a couple other patients. I don't think they're shutting it down. I think they're just moving him to a different location.
Okay.
To like stay forever. Like, that's the whole.
Got it. Yeah. They just needed a reason to move him, essentially.
Yeah. Like, that's not really that important, but it also, they don't explain at all how the bus crashed or that whole thing, but it crashed.
He's Michael Myers and he's evil. He saw his mask and he wants his mask back. And the bus crash that they come across is very similar to the opening scene of Halloween, where we see Dr. Loomis, who's Michael's original therapist or psychiatric,
psychiatrist.
Is driving up to the psychiatric hospital where he's at, and there's just like in the rain just a bunch of people just kind of lit, like in hospital gowns in the dark, just like walking around, and it's like a really creepy scene, and they do it really well here too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
just a bunch of people.
Can you imagine just driving up to that? Like
in the middle of nowhere, just like in the middle of the forest. Like, yeah, there's people in hospital gowns just like kind of zombieing around.
Yeah. I would kind of like, I mean, I understand the need for like, oh, this is an emergency. I want to check on people and like be a good Samaritan. But also like take a second and just sort of gather what's happening. Like that was just a very like quick move for the dad to jump out of the truck like and go find.
Well, he had a gun. He felt safe.
Yeah. But like, I mean, can you? It looks like it's not a great situation. There's people in gown, crazy people, and
I mean, they stick to the bus. Horror, to the horror tropes.
Yeah. Like, oh, of course.
He gets out of the car, and he shouldn't have gotten out of the car. So soon after he gets out, obviously we hear a gunshot, and so that, of course, the kid, after hearing the gunshot, has to get out of the car to go check that his dad's okay, so that he can die too.
Yeah.
But he gets into the car, and doesn't he shoot the kid? Shoots like the new Loomis for this movie, which is like a new psychiatrist who's like Michael's psychiatrist.
Yeah, I think so. He shoots a doctor or a guard, or I'm not sure. It looks like the doctor though.
He shoots the doctor because like the doctor also does, like he pops out from behind a seat like he's like a cutout at like a Halloween maze or something like that. He's just like, oh, hey, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Just like,
just yells, very don't startled, shoot.
Like, don't shoot. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
The perfect way to get shot, really, in any situation. He shoots him and the kid freaks out and tries to drive away.
Well, then he just tells him to run. He says, run.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so then the kid like goes back into the truck and Michael kills the kid.
Yeah. Which I don't know if he does a lot in the original movies. I don't feel like he kills kids.
No. I read this is the first Halloween movie that Michael's killed a child
in. Yeah. Okay. Because that was a note that I had. I was like, is this a sign that he's going to kill kids this one? Like, not even kids are safe? I kill women and children.
Yep.
I just love killing.
So after Michael murders the father and son, he steals their truck and returns to the town of Haddonfield.
And that's where he sees the podcasters who are now at his sister's grave, who from the original is like killed in the opening.
Yeah.
And he kills her as a kid. Yeah. They're at his grave with like a psychic.
I don't know.
Is that who she's supposed to be?
I'm not sure like who she is. She comes back in. If she just kind of like works at the cemetery. I don't know. But she takes them to the grave.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, so they're with another woman, and as they're out there, like, you can see Michael in a quick shot, like, watching over them.
Yeah. And then after that, you see now we're at the podcaster's perspective, and they're driving off and have to stop at a gas station. And what they don't know is that Michael is following them.
So I apparently heard that gas station was modeled exactly, or was the exact model from Halloween 4. I guess it's like an exact replica.
Huh.
So that's an interesting throwback if you've seen that movie. And while there, I think the woman stops in the bathroom.
Yeah, the podcast the restroom, woman.
And then the guy is like looking for help in the gas station. And that's when Michael, he has already killed like the gas station attendant. Like you don't even see him. You just see like the pool of blood.
Yeah.
And then he comes into the bathroom and like is slowly checking each stall. So it's like a great, like perfect, like build tension build,
yeah.
Like the original movie had. And when he gets to her stall, he shakes the door, and then after she tells him to go away, he drops like the attendant's teeth down onto the ground, and it was like
so
such
creepy.
A perfect shot. Yeah, it's so great. And then
it's like everybody's worst nightmare too. Like in a dingy old like bathroom like that, and someone walks in, and you see like the boots under the stall.
It was like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, dirty in there. It was filthy. She actually keeps him out of the stall for a little bit until what's his name, her partner shows up, and then Michael uses his face to slam him into the stalls that she's hiding.
Yeah,
in. I thought that was a pretty creative turn. Like, instead of trying to bang the door down, you're using someone as, like, a battering ram to get in.
Yeah, he was just, like, smashing his face into everything. The wall. And then kind of felt like she was going to escape for a second. She was crawling under the stalls and she was doing good. And then, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't he drown her in the toilet or something? Or
I don't remember. He kind of just kills them like traditionally. There's no real like creativity to their kills, I felt like.
Just kind of smashes them.
Yeah. I think he might like strangle her or something like that.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was also a note that I had, was like all the kills in this one, especially after watching Halloween Kills, in this Halloween version, are pretty like tame. Like they're not, and like the majority of them are shown off screen or are done off screen. So like I read the body count of this movie is 19.
Okay.
Which technically 18, because one of the characters isn't really dead. But out of all of those kills, 8 of them are done off screen. So okay. Like we only see like about what is that? 10, 11 kills in the movie.
Yeah.
So, and then after he kills the podcasters, he steals the mask back from their trunk.
So after Michael's reunited with the mask, we go back to Lori, who learns that he's escaped from the prison, and tries to go to her daughter to warn her that Michael is out and that like everyone needs to stay home, because she wants to go out and like kill him. But I thought it was funny. It shows her, like, I think it's after she learns that Michael is free. She's like in her truck and she's drinking. And I think they're trying to show that she's like an alcoholic, but she's drinking like one single airline vodka bottle. Yeah. And I was like, is this supposed to be like an alcoholic? Cause I feel like that's pretty sensible to me. She just, it's just one, but she shows up at the dinner, like she's been drinking a fifth of vodka or something.
Yeah.
But she's drinking the little tiny bottles in the car. I thought that was pretty funny.
We don't know how many of those bottles she's drinking.
But why are you buying the airplane bottles?
I don't know. You're not
saving any money.
I don't know.
So she shows up to like her granddaughter's dinner, like birthday dinner, drunk, and she's like trying to celebrate, but also like she's like breaks down crying because Michael is out.
Is it a birthday dinner?
I'm pretty sure it's the birthday dinner, because she complains to her mom, like, is grandma going to come to the dinner? And she's like, or did you call grandma to invite her?
Oh, okay.
And then you found out later that she actually already had talked to her. And she was like, no, you know, she basically knew that her mom hadn't asked her grandma to come. So from there, we follow Allison, who is Lori's granddaughter, and her boyfriend, Cameron, I think it is. They're going to like a Halloween dance at their school, and they're dressed as Bonnie and Clyde. But the reverse, so like he's Bonnie and she's Clyde.
Was that their costume though? I didn't really know like what.
Yeah, because remember the dad was like, you guys are going up as Bonnie and Clyde. You know how their story ends, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. While they're at the dance, she sees that like he cheats on her.
Yeah.
With like some other girl, but like I forget what he does. Does he like?
Yeah, she's on the phone with her friend who's babysitting that night and not able to go to the dance. And she's like, you know, telling her to come by after, whatever. They're having a conversation. Then she gets off the phone. She goes in to find her boyfriend and sees him like talking to this bitch. And she's like whispering in his ear and whatever. And then she kisses him and he doesn't like really like push her back or anything. Like they
you could tell definitely he was kind of kiss. Expecting it.
Yeah. So she gets all pissed off and he sees that she saw him and goes after her. And then he's like drunk, I guess. He got drunk in somehow the like 5 minutes that she was on the phone. Cause like,
I think that was just his excuse it? Or I don't know. He didn't seem drunk to me.
Okay. Well, anyways, he claimed he was drunk and then she's like, you know, what the hell? And he's like, oh, I'm drunk, you know, nothing even happened. And then he was all pissed off at her because she was on her phone. And then he throws her phone in like some
punch or something communal. Like
it was like pudding, wasn't it? It was like weird that it was in a punch bowl.
Whatever it was, it's something that I would never have touched in high school. Anything in a bowl.
Yeah.
It was not. Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah. So also, was this a high school dance?
Yeah.
Okay.
High school. Because Laurie Strode was supposed to be in high school. They're supposed to be like high school kids.
Oh, no, I know that. But like this was a high school sanctioned like dance.
Yeah, it was a high school. That was a gym that they were in.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, he practically gaslights her and then.
Or tries to. He does not. She sees through his bullshit immediately.
And then I don't really know. I think she just leaves after that.
Well, she goes back, or like she calls her friend who's babysitting, I think. Like, isn't she going to go back and hang out with her and her boyfriend?
Yeah. Or I think she's like.
Or just is heading home. Like, whatever. She's just leaving.
Getting out of there. Yeah. She's just like leaving.
So then we switch perspectives to Allison's best friend, Vicky, who is babysitting a neighbor of hers, whose parents we actually see in the sequel. But she's wearing, I read in the notes, a yellow, like one of those baseball undershirts where it's like a yellow sleeve and like white t-shirt with long sleeves that are colored sleeves. And it's the same shirt that Tommy Boyle is wearing in the original Halloween.
Oh,
so that's
right.
The boy that Laurie Strode is babysitting.
It's a callback. I didn't know.
It's a callback I didn't know until I saw some of the trivia notes. But yeah, it was a cool little callback. And the boy she's babysitting, Julian, is like our favorite character in that.
Yeah, he was the best.
Yeah.
That was like another point where like the comedy was just on point. Like, and this kid, I mean, I hope he goes on to do other stuff. Like, he was just the best.
His reactions were great.
Yeah.
And then this, you see the kill in the trailer, the first part of it, where the kid comes down and tell, like, as soon as the boyfriend comes over, the kid comes down and is like, there's someone in my bedroom. Like, you gotta come up and, you know, like, don't go up there. And then, of course, she goes up and as she's like getting him to bed and like searches his room, she's like, you're fine. And goes to close the closet door and like can't get it closed.
Yeah.
And after like trying it, she opens it up and of course Michael's behind it, which I thought was like,
he's right there.
Yeah. Was one of the greatest scares, even though it's ruined in the trailer. It's one of the best scares in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very surprising. Yeah. And then obviously Michael kills Dave, her boyfriend too, that came over. And then he kills Vicky. Vicky sacrifices herself to save the kid, Julian.
Yeah, and she gets attacked and...
Yeah, and then tells him to run. And he gets away, thank God. Because I would have been really mad if he...
Because he needs to come back in Hollywood... Or Hollywood.
Halloween Kills.
Halloween, Halloween Ends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So after Julian escapes, he gets to a neighbor's house and calls the police. But it happens off screen. And we get to see our first look at Deputy Hawkins, who... if you've ever seen, oh God, what's it called? Remember the Titans. He's the assistant coach on Remember the Titans is what I remember.
So
from.
Random.
And basically Laurie Strode, they both hear over the radio that Michael Myers is over at this house.
Because Laurie Strode has a police radio.
Yeah. She's at the ready. She's got everything.
She's Laurie fucking Strode.
Yeah. And so as Laurie gets to the house, she gets up to the front and sees Michael in the window of the second story, kind of like similar to like where he would stand at his like original house. And she lines up a shot and like hits him like dead between the eyes, but it turns out she hits like a mirror reflection of him watching her, which I thought was like a cool, like unexpected twist.
Yeah.
And from there, I think like they're both chasing her from like different directions, or chasing Michael from different directions. And she actually gets a shot on, like, Laurie gets a shot on him, but the deputy doesn't.
Yeah.
She ends up, like, right, like, pistol butting him in the face.
Yeah. And then he's like, why are you here? They have kind of like a meet cute for a second. And then, she shoots Michael in the shoulder. He doesn't stop after she shoots him. So then the police take Laurie, Karen, and her husband, Ray, to Laurie's house to have them, you know, be protected there because it's like a fortified shelter. And then they have a squad car that remains outside the residence. So they all feel safe. And then they said, you know, Deputy Hawkins, the police officer, is going to find Allison and bring her there to be with them. So he leaves. And then kind of randomly, Karen's wearing a Christmas sweater. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that. Are you sure it wasn't like a Halloween costume
or
something?
I'm sure. It was really weird.
Huh. I'll have to look for that. No, I didn't notice.
Yeah. So anyways, maybe that was like a callback to another Halloween movie, or maybe it was just like signifying
it just looked like a Christmas sweater, maybe.
No, it was 100% a Christmas sweater. It was like red and green. Huh. So maybe yeah, it's just because like she hates Halloween now or something. So she...
So she disrespects the holiday by wearing a Christmas sweater? How dare you?
I don't know.
How dare you, Karen?
Yeah.
Ruin Halloween.
Yeah, and her name is appropriately Karen. She's kind of a bitch.
Yeah, she does not like Halloween.
Yeah. So then they say they're going to find Allison. So then we cut to Allison to see where she's at. And she's leaving the dance. And her friend, who's kind of like the third wheel.
Yeah, he's like a nerdy, like, kind of looks like Jonah Hill's character from that movie Invincible is what I remember him as, like the kind of like nerd. Or is, am I thinking
Invincible?
No, not Invincible. What's that movie? Super no, wait. Bad? Is it Megamind?
Oh,
the bad guy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like nerdy Jonah Hill from Megamind.
Yeah.
He looks like that guy.
Yeah. He does look just like him. So yeah, curly, longer, shaggy, curly hair, bigger guy.
Yeah. And he has like a crush on Allison and he like uses this as an excuse to like tell her how shitty her boyfriend was. And I could be like a good
guy.
Yeah. You can be with a good guy.
And then he like tries to kiss her and she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then he tries to kiss her again. And so then she leaves him because he's being weird. And obviously Michael kills him because...
Yeah.
Piece of shit. But we don't see that kill, I don't think, either. We just see his body, like, on the fence.
You see enough of it. Like, he stabs him while he's trying to cross over that, what's it called? That, like, pointed iron fence.
Yeah.
And then, like, hangs his body by his, like, neck. Like, just, like, kind of, like, pushes his head down onto the fence, on the top of the tip of the fence.
Just the tip.
Just the tip.
Yeah. That was a good, good... kill reveal.
Yeah, and I liked the use of the motion sensor lights.
Oh yeah.
As generic as I felt like it was, I could also like, actually I can't think of another like use of the motion lights where you see like he sees Michael in the dark and then the motion lights turn off and then turn back on and he's closer, like he's behind him.
No, don't they turn off and then they turn back on and he's gone and he's like, where the fuck?
Well, that's what I
where are you, dude?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He was a pretty good, like, character, like, comic relief character.
Yeah, he was a good character, too. Yeah, so from there, she freaks out and starts running down the street, and I think that's when she runs into...
Deputy Hawkins.
And he hooked up with, like, the psychiatrist at some point, I guess, at, like, the house.
Yeah.
The psychiatrist that was shot by the little kid earlier in the movie.
And he's the one that's, like, the new Dr. Loomis, the new, like, doctor in charge of Michael.
Yeah, he had a name drop that he was a student of Dr. Loomis.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but yeah. And he looks exactly like him. He's basically just like the carbon copy.
Accent. Yeah. Yeah. Cause all psychiatrists need a weird accent.
A little bit of a British Einstein-y kind of accent.
It's like a Freudian kind of. So the doctor and the officer show up and rescue Allison.
So they pick her up, but they put her in the back seat cause obviously there's no room up front. And they see Michael as they're driving
and Hawkins is going to shoot him because he's got like a good shot on him. But the doctor like points his gun away or something or like prevents him from shooting him.
Yeah. But that's after he hits him with his car, right? Like he, runs
that's right. Yeah. He hits him with the car. Yeah.
And he's like knocked out cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, he's about to kill him. Like the deputy is about to kill him. And then he gets stabbed by like a pen knife that, the new doctor, Ranbir Sartain.
Yeah.
Such a weird name.
Whatever. Let's just call him Loomis 2.
Yeah, okay, Loomis 2. He's killed by Loomis 2.
And he just like kind of, I don't know that he's necessarily dead, but like he's not doing good. And then they just leave him.
Yeah, he's like one of those expected deaths where it's like he's pretty badly hurt.
Yeah. And then the doctor takes Michael, who's knocked out, and puts him in the back seat with Allison.
Yeah, he's like able to get like open a door up and then shove Michael's body onto her so she can't escape as she's like trying to get her in.
Yeah.
Or trying to get him in, which I thought is a little far-fetched because Michael is huge compared to this guy. He's double huge. The size, and this guy, he lifts. He does not skip leg day. He lifted no problem. Just like, yep,
that's
right up
true.
Into like an SUV. Yeah. Like he lifted a 250-pound dude like, I don't know, off the ground into a truck, like no hesitation whatsoever.
Movie magic.
This guy lifts. The doctor lives.
So at that point, we're kind of revealed that the doctor, Loomis too, has this like weird obsession with Michael. And
yeah, he does his exposition speech in the front of the car to her.
Yeah. And apparently he were revealed that he was the one that orchestrated this whole like bus escape thing.
That's right. So they do explain it. Earlier, we were like, we don't know how he crashes.
Well, they don't know how, like, the specifics to how the bus crashed, but he was behind, you know, Michael escaping. Like, he probably undid his, like, whatever, handcuffs and stuff because he wanted to study him in the wild, which is, like, weird. So, like, how did this guy get a license to practice?
Yeah. So he steals the police car, the SUV that they hit Michael with. And he's driving Michael to Lori's house because he wants to see how he'll react around her, like to see if she's the reason why he like has this urge to kill.
Yeah. And then the most satisfying kills is Michael wakes up while he's in the back seat, and then he kills the doctor. He like kind of, you know, struggles in the car, and then they end up getting out of the car, and then he steps on his head. Oh, yeah,
that's
right.
That's when we kind of learn that Michael definitely has a priority kill list.
Yeah.
Because he wakes up in the back, puts the mask on because like he threw the mask in there with him and the girl. And instead of killing the girl, he like sees that it's his doctor in front of him and ends up kicking down like the metal barrier of this SUV and like smashes him up against like the steering wheel, like just kicks the shit out of him, and then escapes out. Like, is that how he gets out? Is like he's able to go through that hole, or he's able to open the door somehow?
I think the car crashes, maybe.
And no, because like, they stop, remember, in like the middle of the street, and that's when like those two other cops that are watching the house see him.
Oh yeah.
That's and they're like, what is that guy doing? Again, they notice that it's Hawkins' car. So they're like calling him on the radio and they're not answering.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think he escapes through that maybe, or maybe we don't see it. But at some point he steps on the doctor's head and kills him.
Yeah. Allison gets away. And then the doctor's like, say something, Michael. I need to hear you say. And then he steps on his head like a pumpkin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great scene. That's when, like, the cops run out. Like, they see Allison jump out of the car. And then when they go over to check, they're both killed. And then Michael does... He's starting to get creative. He takes one of the police officer's heads and, like, hollows it out and then sticks a flashlight in the neck hole. So it looks like a lantern head.
We
and
don't then, see that, though. We just
see the after part. Which is, like... I was like, did he, like... burn the inside of his face out. I was like, oh wait, no, it's a flashlight. I was like, how creative.
Yeah, like a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, it looks like a jack-o'-lantern on the other dead cop that he kills.
Yeah. And then so Michael drives up to the residence, right?
Or to Lori's house.
Yeah. And
gets confronted by Karen's husband, who's Allison's dad,
Ray.
Yeah. And he makes quick work of him, of course.
Yeah. He goes outside because he thinks that they're the officers that found Allison. But it ends up being Michael, obviously. He strangles him. And that was a sad moment for me because I really liked his character.
Yeah. Yeah, he was entertaining. So it was sad to see that.
Yeah. And then Lori sees all of it happen. Karen doesn't see her husband get killed. But Lori sees it and is like, all right, we need to get going. And so she grabs Karen and she has this like crazy, like she has this crazy like kitchen island that's also like a doorway to a bunker. And so she opens that up and forces Karen to get down. And I think Karen kind of has an idea that her husband's been killed, but she never really finds that out. And then she puts Karen down there. And then is like, I got to find Michael. And it closes the island door. And then she's walking around the house looking for him. And I think
it's very reminiscent of the first Halloween where she's like going through by like room by room looking for him. And then, but she's like ready now. She's like Ramboed out. So every room she checks, she has like a steel gated door that she's able to close.
Oh, yeah.
That looks like it's part of a spaceship. It's like, damn, that is...
Yeah, she checks the room, everything. And then she, like, hits a button, and, like, a gate, like, goes down. And
Yeah, it looks like a door that would be like on a spaceship or something like that. Like that would close off. Yeah, like closes off different segments. Like nothing's getting through that. Like you've got better chance of going through the wall than going through that door.
Yeah. A thing that I also found like really stressful was there were so many of those accordion style closets, which is like a famous part in the original one.
Very triggering.
And I'm pretty sure that that was like, it had to have been a callback to that, but there were just so many different ones. And it's like, Lori, when you designed this house, you decided to...
She had to spend all the money on the metal doors. She couldn't afford the, like, she had doors. To use the what's it called? The
accordion style.
Accordion style closets that are made out of that like pressed like carbon, like not even real wood, like that fake faux
MDF.
Like, MDF or something like that. You're not protecting anything.
Also, she had like so many mannequins.
Oh yeah, in her own bedroom. Like she clears every room that's empty. And then she gets to her bedroom and it's like all of her old shooting dummies or something like that. She really loves sleeping around them or something.
So it's weird.
Like you have enough extra rooms to have a dummy room. Like
you're just asking for like somebody to like.
Yeah, this is the room that Michael would hide. I would hide in this room. Yeah. There's so many places to hide. Oh yeah, that's where she finds like the husband too, is in her bedroom. Like Michael has like stuffed him up like an old comforter or something on the shelf of the closet in her bedroom.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, she comes across a body and it's like all stuffed up. I'm pretty sure it's the husband.
Yeah.
And then Michael finally attacks her. He's been hiding behind one of the mannequins, of course. And Lori falls out of the second room window.
Well, not before she shoots off some of his fingers. She shoots first.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then he stabs her and pushes her over the balcony.
And well, that's when he's first walking up to the house, right? She blows his fingers off. Because Michael does that classic now. If you're by a window, he's going to smash through the window and then take your head and slam it against the frame of whatever thing you're hiding behind. And he tries to do that to her and she blows his fingers off.
Yeah, that's right. That's in the first, like when he first comes in the house. Yeah. So yeah, I guess he's injured already, but then he surprises her in the bedroom, stabs her, and then pushes her over the balcony.
Does he stab?
Yeah, he stabs her.
She gets hurt somehow.
Yeah, and that like in the stomach.
Yeah, and then we see like the reverse of the original Halloween, which was, I think it was Loomis, and he's like, he shoots Michael and he falls out of the window and then sees him like lying on the ground. But now it's the opposite. Michael's looking at Lori on the ground outside. And that's when her daughter Karen realizes like, all right, I think both my husband and my mom are dead. So I'm going to.
No, I think I think what happens is Allison comes home.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She shows up.
Because so then like Michael right down the street. Looks away. And then he looks back and Lori's gone.
Yeah, Lori's gone. The same shot as the original where Michael was gone, which I thought was a great callback.
So now Allison's there, though, and is like, has no idea what's happening and is calling for Lori.
That's right. Yeah. And her mom can hear her.
Yeah.
In the quiet place bunker her mom built. And... So, Michael, does she get her down there first? Like, does she get her down into the quiet place bunker?
The quiet place bunker. No, she's like calling out for her and Karen hears her. And so Karen goes, like, opens the thing to, because she's like, my daughter's here. And Michael ends up like, you know, chasing her or something. And so then Karen shoots him. And she shoots him in the face. It seems like he's not.
Oh no! It was even better than that though. It was her daughter was down in the basement, and they hear Michael coming down, and she's like crying, saying like, "I can't do it. I can't." Like she's aiming up at the opening of the like staircase that's hidden, and she's like starts crying. She's like, "I can't do it. I can't do it."
Yeah.
And then Michael like pops out after he hears that, like, "Oh, I got him!" And she's like, "Got you, bitch!" And like shoots him right in the face, like
gotcha,
right between the eyes.
Yeah.
And then after that, like Lori comes in all Halloween style behind him where she's like in a dark hallway, like behind Michael. And she like says, "Happy Halloween, Michael," and stabs him.
And then like pushes him. They end up all coming out of the quiet place bunker, push him in. And then Lori has this like these bars that like are automatic.
Yeah, it's like kind of like spring-loaded spikes
that
block the entrance to her little bunker, and you find out that it's not supposed to be a bunker. It's supposed to be like a trap to trap Michael in.
Yeah.
And then from there, she like starts opening up these gas lines that she has in her kitchen. And it's like every room has a gas line. It's like, I don't know how she didn't die from gas poisoning.
Yeah.
They're like, you have to maintain so many pipes in that
house. She had to maintain so many things in that house. Yeah. Like there are so many contraptions and traps and.
Yeah. It's like Rambo's like Pee-wee's Playhouse. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. A Rambo version of Pee-wee's Playhouse. It had everything. Security.
Yeah. And then she says, Happy Halloween, Michael.
Yeah. That was great.
Which is
and
like,
I like the illumination on her face, just like you can see her face in the shadows.
Yeah.
When she says it.
Which would be great if that was the only time that it was said. And then in the Halloween Kills one, it's just like beaten like a dead horse. So many people say that as if
They do it. Yeah. They beat, what's it called? Like the head tilt in the original Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Like he does that every time he kills somebody. It's like,
no, I know. It's just like that everybody wants it to be like, you know, their killing line, like the, you know, Happy Halloween, Michael, you're dead. And like, It's just, it never happens. He's never going to die. It's Michael Myers. So, yeah. And then they escape.
The house is on fire and they escape out. And that's pretty much where the movie ends. Like directly, you don't see any aftermath at all, which is why Halloween Kills takes place as like the firefighters are going in to fight the fire.
Yeah.
To give you an idea of like how soon after. It's like 5 minutes.
Well, you see like a shot of the basement and you don't see Michael in it at the end. So it's kind of like ominous ending. That's how it ends.
Yeah, definitely one of the strongest of the series next to the original. It's able to incorporate all the little like nuances of all the other films. So if you had seen them, it's not totally wasted. Like, oh, they're going to like retcon everything that I've watched. Like everything gets added in. Even like the masks, the Halloween masks from the third one, which we need to watch again, or you need to watch for the first time.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of references. A lot of the kids had the witch, pumpkin, and I forget what the other mask is.
Like a skeleton, right?
Oh yeah, the skeleton, yeah.
Yeah, I did read something about it's a callback to that, the masks in that, but I haven't seen it, so I can't really speak to it. I did you hear about the alternate or the original ending?
No, I didn't.
So that wasn't how the ending actually happened, but they decided to change it after they had a screening. I'm not quite sure why, but the original ending was a shorter version. And basically after Laurie like shoots off his fingers and goes around the house trying to find him, they eventually end up outside where Laurie tries to shoot him, but realizes she's out of bullets. So she takes her own knife and gets into a knife fight with Michael. And that's when she cuts him. So she cuts him in the arm in the same like spot that he cut her in like the original. And then he stabs her in the chest and he's about to stab her again. And Karen shoots him in the back with a crossbow arrow.
Okay.
Which wounds him. And then,
is this along with like the little bunker?
Maybe that was what they changed, because that's not even mentioned in this original ending.
Okay.
So then Karen, after she shoots him, then Karen and Allison are carrying Lori away and she's like, no, we need to go back and kill Michael. Michael goes into the woods and ends up at that spot where Lori would do like target practice and all her mannequins are and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he sits down against a tree, heavy breathing, and that's implied that he's like finally slowly dying. And that's how it ends. That's how it originally ended.
Not as strong.
Like I liked how like, especially if they did have the bunker in this original ending, then it would be like, well, what's the point of this whole bunker? Like, at least in the ending, the real ending.
Well, that's what makes me think they might have gone back and refilmed that part or just added in later.
It did say that they had to refilm. Like, so that could have been the part. Because is that in the trailer?
The bunker?
Yeah.
Like shots of it, but nothing where it's like it explains what the bunker is, I don't think.
Okay. Because they mentioned that some of those scenes are actually in certain trailers. Like they hadn't changed it yet at the time.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look for some more trailers.
Yeah, there's tons of like deleted scenes of this movie, apparently.
Oh, okay. We'll have to look for those.
Yeah.
So for box office numbers, the budget on this movie was $10 million. Pretty low considering like, especially a lot of movies now, like that are going to go into theaters, $10 million usually just go straight to like VOD now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it doesn't look like a $10 million movie. It grossed $159,342,015 in US and Canada. And its opening weekend gross was $76,221,000, and it released on Michael Myers' birthday, October 19th.
Oh,
according to IMDb trivia.
Interesting.
So even more. There's 60, throwbacks.
His 61 kind of year birthday. Yeah, I think he's supposed to be 61 in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and then it did 255 worldwide. So
wow,
great return on the movie.
Really made its money back. Yeah, I did read that this movie was supposed to be shot back to back with Halloween Kills,
which makes sense considering the ending. And that's why we talked about earlier, like the second one starts off on a bummer because everyone is like kind of reeling from the deaths of the people that they just, like 19 people just died.
Yeah.
So it's a, yeah.
Yeah.
Automatically the tone's off.
And it literally starts up right at the end of this one, but they decided to not shoot them back to back because they wanted to see how this one did first. And so that might explain a little bit of the disconnect with like why the tone is a little bit different, I think. I think probably also a lot of people had similar things to say about the killing scene. Like there wasn't enough like gore and like kills.
In the second one?
In the first one. Oh, the first. And I think that's why the second one is the way that it is. Because the second one is like there's just
dying every minute of that movie.
It's just like a crazy. Yeah, all the kills are. I mean, that's the only redeeming thing I would say about this Halloween Kills is it's definitely made for the fans of like gore and like, you know, true horror. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So,
like you like slow horror, like slow build tension horror. Not over the top gore, but enough. There's enough in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and honestly, learning that it was a $10 million film kind of makes sense why a lot of the kills were done off screen, because that takes a lot of, you know, choreographing and special effects and blood splatters. So like by doing it off screen, they can kind of just set it all up and it's not as intensive.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting fact that I learned was the actor who played Michael, his name's James Jude Courtney. I think he played the original Michael Myers as well. But he, in order to prepare for this role, he actually went to like prisons and talked to real life killers and asked them how to kill people in order to make his performance more believable. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. And
the extra mile.
And I also saw, which I thought like was kind of interesting, because I was looking up David Gordon Green because I wanted to see like what else he's directed.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he's working on an Exorcist movie.
Yeah.
So he's trying to like reboot all the classic horror, it seems like. He's also like working on a Hellraiser TV show.
That's what it was. Like there was something else big in horror that he was like getting into. So that's funny that he's like just, he's doing that stuff. He's still doing Righteous Gemstones too. He's a producer on that show.
That's a good show, by the way, too. But yeah, I really like this version of Halloween.
Yeah, it's great. There's something there if you hadn't watched the original, and then there's definitely stuff there if you've watched all of them. So it caters to a wide audience.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you have any movie recommendations? Or new movie recommendations that you've seen?
What have we watched recently?
I know what I'm going to recommend.
I know what I'm going to recommend. Is it going to be the same thing?
Let's see.
Midnight Mass.
You stole mine. It's great. Mike Flanagan's stuff is great.
Yeah, we're huge Mike Flanagan fans. And I would say definitely watch Midnight Mass if you haven't yet. It was a
miniseries on Netflix.
Really great miniseries.
If you've watched Hill House or Bly Manor, his other mini-series specials on Netflix. Definitely give it a watch.
Yeah, it's a little bit more... It's a little less dark than those, but it's also, like, just super... It's super good. Like, the whole story... He's just really good at, like, crafting these, like, stories. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These, like, horror, you know, spooky stories. So, anyways, yeah, check that out. Also, obviously, what everyone's talking about. Squid Games.
Oh, Squid Games, of course.
We watch that.
You're going to miss out on all the jokes, all the memes that people are publishing.
Yeah. Yeah, Squid Games. What else? We've been doing this horror movie marathon on our Instagram. So we haven't had much time to watch any like newer stuff other than Halloween Kills.
Which I would recommend. If you're a Halloween fan, go see it. Just tamper your expectations if you really liked this one, because it's, you can definitely see the parts where it's like, okay, they had to build this out because there's not enough if we were just kind of continued on the story. Like it would be like a 30-minute add-on to the movie that we just had. But they have to introduce new characters and stuff that are parallel, but like not part of it. So you kind of have to like, I don't know. It's kind of like you're trying to build up a relationship with these new characters and then, but they're not the main characters. So it's like, you don't get attached to them in a way. Cause it's like, oh, okay, you're fodder. Like there's no way they're going to kill off Laurie yet or, you know.
But at the same time, you don't really have to know. Yeah. Like it's campy and it's, you know, compared to this one, I feel like it's a lot more campy.
Yeah. And they even do up the fan service even more in the second.
Yeah. It's basically just like Michael on a killing spree. It's Halloween Kills. It's,
yeah.
It is in the name. Mm-hmm. But
if you watch it, go see it. We loved Big John and Little John. I don't want to spoil too much, but
yeah.
They're great characters.
Favorite characters for sure. What other movie recommendations? Are there any others that we've seen? We're about to see Last Night in Soho on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Which we're excited about.
Hopefully that's a good one that we can recommend in the future. But it's been a while, so I actually also want to recommend Shang-Chi, which is a great movie. We really loved that one.
One of the best Marvel
fans too. So I also want to recommend this month, if you haven't seen Candyman, the Jordan Peele, it wasn't even like it was also like a continuation of the original Candyman.
Oh yeah, it was kind of a similar deal.
It was really good. I would put it on par with how good Halloween was, or this Halloween re-continuation. It's they really build on the character, which we watched the original and it's good. It's definitely not a bad horror movie, but this one builds on the lore a little bit more, where I had some questions and it definitely got answered as far as how that's concerned. So I like where they're going, and I'm excited. I'm sure they'll get a Candyman, too, after that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was a good one.
It was a good one.
Thank you for listening to our special Halloween episode, and you can follow us on Instagram at Epic Movie Collection, or follow our hashtag Greg and Katie's Epic Movie Collection. And a big thank you to everyone that's been participating in our Epic Horror Movie Marathon on Instagram this month. Only a couple days left, but we look forward to doing more games like that in the future. So make sure you follow us on Instagram, and we'll see you in our next episode.
Thanks.